And I hope you're ready, because it may blow up your paradigm of scripture, the appearance of Jesus himself in the Old Testament.
56 times there's some appearance or revelation wow. of the God of Israel in the form of a man in the Hebrew scriptures.
Don't miss the connection here.
Don't change the channel, we're gonna prove it to you.
Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice.
Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice, and thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Burness. Of course, we all know the stories of Jesus written in the Gospels in the New Testament, but did you know that Jesus actually appeared in human form before his birth a number of times in the Old Testament? It's an incredible conversation that we're continuing from a previous one, because this is so interesting. Listen, I want you to dust off your Old Testaments, because you're going to want to reread after this program. Ezra Benjamin is back with me today as my co-host, but we also have another special guest, Troy Wallace. Troy is a member of our leadership team here at Jewish Voice, who oversees both leadership and congregational development. He's also quite a Bible teacher. And Troy, we had to have you back.
I'm so glad to be here.
Because the program that we did on this was so compelling. How people view, how many Christians view the Old Testament and the New Testament and actually divide the two and see the Old Testament as the book of law. It's about laws.
Right.
It's about Moses, right? The covenant of Moses. It's about history and setting the context for the new. And there's prophecy that points to the New Testament that's fulfilled or completed in the New Testament. And then God the Father is the central figure.
Right.
The new, in contrast to the law, is about grace. In contrast to Moses, it's now about Jesus, right?
Right.
And now it was history, the history in the context of the old, but the new is the now. The new is what we're living in. Prophecy fulfilled in the new, and now it's not about the Father, it's about the Son.
Sure.
Now, there's some truth to that.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but I agree with you.
Do you think that that creates a false dichotomy between the old and the new?
I do, and you know, the funny thing is, even Bible publishing, oftentimes there's a blank page in the middle between the what many call the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Sure.
And in some ways it's just a false partition, because the narrative of Scripture in revealing the glory of who the Son, Yeshua, Jesus is, I think it's continuous from cover to cover.
Yeah. Ezra, you grew up in a Jewish home, but a believing Jewish
sure.
home. For me, the New Testament wasn't even a valid
book.
It was irrelevant.
Yeah.
But do you find that it's not a grace law dichotomy, that there's grace in the old and there's law in the new?
It's one story, as you say, Troy, from right. cover to cover, Jonathan, and we need to see it as one story. And in fact, what we're going to unpack today, and I hope you're ready because it may blow up your paradigm of Scripture, is actually the appearance of Jesus himself in the Old Testament. Don't change the channel. We're not heretics. We're going to prove it to you. Troy, the word theophany, what does that mean? That's really what we're talking about here, but it's kind of a funny theological word.
So theophany is just the idea of a revealing
yeah.
of God.
Okay.
And so what we're talking about today is God, the God of Israel, in the form of a man that appears repeatedly throughout the Scriptures. And in fact, 56 times... And you could probably make a case for a few of them, but 56 times there's some appearance or revelation
wow.
of the God of Israel in the form of a man in the Hebrew Scriptures. Now, we're talking about the New Testament when Jesus is born.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Son who appears in the form of a man.
Before he's actually incarnated.
Right. From Genesis to Malachi.
56. Wow. So we're not talking about a few times.
Right.
And Troy,
it's not random.
This is something different than Bible prophecy that predicts
right.
The coming of the Messiah.
Yeah.
A child shall be born or what. This is actual appearances.
Right. He's there. And the heroes and the patriarchs and matriarchs of Israel most of the time respond in worshiping the God of Israel in the form of a man. Okay. Like it's incredible when we get down to it. And I don't know if one example is Abraham. Like Abraham has lunch with the God of Israel in the form of a man. He worships him. He slays the fatted calf for him.
Right.
In Genesis 18, they have a discussion about the future of Sodom and Gomorrah, the future of his own family. It all happens in person over lunch.
Now, most of us have heard this story. We know the story, right? And we say, yeah, Abraham's three visitors. But something's different about one of these three. What is it?
Well, it says in the text that the Lord, now that's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Adonai,
right.
He appears to Abraham as one of three men.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham's response is to worship him. So just right there in the text, it's not qualified. It just says the Lord appeared as one of three men, and Abraham and he have an interaction.
You made such a great point last time we had you on the program that Abraham knew him.
Right.
So he recognizes his voice. He knew who this was.
Because
this
he had interacted with him repeatedly. Yeah. Now, they didn't have lunch together every time, but this time they had lunch in Genesis 8.
Don't just trust us, okay? Right. Read for yourself. Be a Berean. Read for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see this, show the Jewish friends and family members and co-workers that God has put into your life, okay? Because it's there.
Right.
It's amazing.
And it changes the conversation. You know, you were saying about prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
We can disagree of how to interpret prophecies,
sure.
Vision-based or dreams, but when we see him literally in the text, Jonathan, I think it does change the conversation with our Jewish friends and family.
Yeah. Now, we're not going to get through 57 appearances,
right.
But let's talk about another. Give us another juicy one.
Well, I think maybe we can get into... Exodus 3, where it says the messenger of the Lord appeared to Moses,
wow.
And Moses worships him. He appears to him in a flame of fire next to a bush. So maybe that'd be something that...
Wait. What about the burning bush? We've all heard
that's
of the burning
what we were
bush.
Taught, right?
The bush isn't on fire?
The bush actually isn't on fire. Maybe we can look at that text.
Yeah, that is so interesting because I was taught that... it was the burning bush, that God was in the bush. And I used to wonder, how can you have a relationship with a burning bush?
Well, there's no way to have a relationship with a bush. You can only have a relationship with the Lord. But the interesting thing is it says in the text that what attracted Moses' attention was that there was a flame next to the bush, but the bush wasn't being consumed. In other words, the thing that Moses turned to look at was that the bush looking like it was on fire wasn't actually on fire. It's just so interesting because I think about maybe some Sunday school teachers that are watching and they go, oh, no, I have to change all the coloring
Throw
pages.
Out your flanagrams. It was all wrong. Don't change the channel. We promise we're not heretics.
But Troy, let's look at this text because clearly this is a visitation from the Lord.
Absolutely.
He takes his shoes off. The place is holy.
This
is not an angel.
Right. And the text in Hebrew says malach. Adonai, Malach Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which means messenger. Most English translations will translate that into angel.
Right.
But like we talked about last time, John's experience forbids the worshiping of angels. We can only worship the Lord, so we can't worship angels. And Moses, of course, as the teacher of Israel, isn't going to worship something that's forbidden. So the angel of the Lord appears in a flame of fire next to a bush. And what he says to Moses, and you can look at it in Exodus 3, it's right there in your book. Mm-hmm. He says to him, hey, the place where I am is holy. So you have to take off your shoes because I'm here.
Wow.
And then a little further down in Exodus 3, he actually says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's a messenger who is saying, I am the Lord. I'm the God of Israel, and I'm standing here, and my presence in fire is holy, so you have to take off your shoes. And Moses, this is Moses' commissioning, if you will, to go back into Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Moses says, well, who should I say sent me? And he says, tell him, I am who I am sent you. Ihye asher ihye. Tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses in the dialogue, again, is from a posture of worship for this appearance of the messenger.
Right.
of the Lord.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the parallels here. Abraham recognizes the Lord in one of these three visitors, and he worships him. Moses right. recognizes the Lord in the man on fire next to the bush, which isn't consumed, and he worships him. These guys knew it was God.
Well, in the case of Moses, this was actually the first appearance to Moses specifically. So Moses had heard of the stories of Abraham and the patriarchs before him, but he hadn't had his own personal encounter yet. This is the first of many that continues for 40 years of
his
life.
See, you know, we see a contrast when it's not, when it is just an angel.
For sure.
Because they'll pick them up, or they'll say, don't bow down.
Right.
There's a clear difference between a messenger and the Lord himself.
Absolutely.
That's very distinct in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Hey, we need to take a short break to let you know how you can get involved in changing lives by supporting this ministry. I know that you've been presented with a lot of different opportunities to give, but I want you to know that your donations to Jewish Voice are truly making a difference. Please take a moment to listen to our announcer, and we'll be right back with much more.
Were you surprised to hear the God of Israel appears in human form more than 50 times in the Hebrew Bible? For your gift of $40 or more to support the work of Jewish Voice, we'll send you the book, Who Ate Lunch with Abraham? Plus, we'll include the DVD, Jacob Becomes Israel, in which Jonathan offers a new perspective on Jacob wrestling the Lord himself. The unique features of our third resource, the Jewish Voice Study Bible, underscore how your Jewish roots connect to faith in Jesus. We'll send all three when you become a new monthly Shalom partner for just $50 a month. Make sure to request the Jesus in the Old Testament package when you contact us today.
What I have here is a Life Straw, a water filtration system that will last for 5 years for an entire family. The cost of one filter is just $75. I'm asking you to stretch and help with this water filter. Water is life. So I'm asking you to stretch, be generous, pick up the phone, and call now.
Make a gift of $50 a month. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or mail your gift to the address on the screen. Thanks for your continuing generosity. Now back to Jonathan, Ezra, and Troy.
Welcome back. We need to jump back into these appearances, but before we do, can I just take a moment to say thank you? We honestly could not do this work without you, so thank you for your generous giving, and especially for joining Jewish Voice as a monthly Shalom partner. Your ongoing support of this ministry is so valued. We appreciate it. We appreciate you so much. So thank you again. Troy, I love the story of the burning bush. Let's go back there for a second. Abraham sees God and worships him. You don't worship angels. There's a distinction, right?
Right.
And then Moses is worshiping now. This is God.
Right. And Moses interacts with him. I mean, this is really Moses' commissioning. So this is the first time he's interacting with the God of Israel in the full, in this appearance as a messenger carrying the name of the Lord, saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's incredible. And Moses and he are having this dialogue about going back down into Egypt to set the people free. Mm-hmm. And Moses starts going, well, how are they going to know who sent me? Like,
right.
I'm interacting with you. This is amazing. It's holy. I'm worshiping. There's fire. There's this revelation from heaven. Mm-hmm. But how do I describe this to the elders of Israel? And the Lord says, tell them I am who I am. Ihyeh asher ihyeh is what it says in Hebrew. I'm the one who always was. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who will always be. I am, in some essence, he's saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Mm-hmm.
That's not your average angel.
No, that's not
right.
at all.
That's right. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, at the beginning of this program, Jonathan, you said this dichotomy or the false dichotomy between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Right. And I'm saying, okay, I am that I am is very maybe Old Testament language in the way we traditionally think of it. But we've heard that again. We hear that again right in the New Testament.
We do. I mean,
I think of the New
John
Testament.
John 8.
Now.
Interesting.
I mean, there's this whole dialogue that Yeshua is having with the Pharisees and the scribes about his parentage,
okay,
his authority. Like, they're right. having this dialogue. And in verse 58 mm-hmm. of John 8, right. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of his day, he's saying, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. The Pharisees say, you're not yet 50 years old. How can you know who Abraham was? And Yeshua responds, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, here's the phrase, I am. He's saying that Abraham knew him. He knew Abraham. He's saying he existed before Abraham. And he's saying, I'm the guy that showed up to Moses at the burning bush, air quotes.
Right. I
mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, there's that parallel, right? In Exodus, in essence, in whose name and what authority am I going to go back to the children of Israel enslaved in Egypt and declare that God's going to set them free? Same thing. The rabbis are asking here, the leaders of the Jewish community, on what authority are you making these claims? And the answer is the same. And
I'm the guy.
And the rabbis understood exactly what he was saying.
Absolutely,
right?
Because
they were furious.
Verse 59 says they took up stones to throw at him.
Right.
They go, wait a second, you're saying that you existed before Abraham, that Abraham knew you, and you're saying you're the one who gave Moses his authority to take the children out of Egypt. We have a responsibility to kill you. I mean, that's an intense reality.
Sure. Yeah.
But Deuteronomy 13 says that if someone shows up doing signs and wonders mm-hmm. and says you should follow a different God,
right.
that we should stone that person.
Well, he should have been stoned if he wasn't who we know he was.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the reality.
Yeah. That's the key.
Oh my gosh.
How challenging that is to their paradigm. I mean, we have the benefit of thinking back through our personal relationship
sure.
with Jesus. We have been impacted by him. We have all the benefits of 2,000 years of understanding mm-hmm. how everything fit together. Mm-hmm. But the leaders in his day, this is an incredible challenge to them to yeah. say, hey, I'm the guy.
That's
but
right.
Don't miss this. You that are watching, don't miss the connection here. This is all interconnected. Genesis to Revelation. When you get a hold of these connections, it just changes the way you read Scripture and builds your faith.
That's right.
And Ezra, we talked a little bit about this last time. Mm-hmm. John understands this because he had the revelation experience. John is Jesus' best friend, and he sees him in a glorified form
right.
that matches many of the appearances that we're talking about here. And he goes, oh, that means it's the Son everywhere throughout the record of Scripture that's appearing.
Wow.
And it changes the whole paradigm for this book. I mean, it changes everything about what we read.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Think of it, though. It changes the traditional view of Jesus appearing only in the book of Matthew. He comes on the scene in the book of Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's far much earlier.
There's so many wonderful ones. Ezekiel 1, Isaiah 6, these incredible appearances. Mm-hmm. But one I think that's really powerful is Joshua 5.
Yeah, take us through that.
Jericho, they're just about to go into Jericho. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Joshua's praying essentially, okay, we need the help of the Lord, mm-hmm. and appears a man. It says, there's this man that appears who says he's the prince of the Lord's armies.
Wow.
And Joshua, a good warrior, is like, well, are you for us? Or are you against us? Are you for us?
Yeah.
And his answer is, no.
Exactly. I haven't come to take sides. I've come to take over.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's awesome.
That's exactly right. And yeah. so Joshua has the same response that Moses does, actually.
Right.
He takes off his shoes and worships this figure who says that he's the prince of the Lord's armies. And here's a funny thing, and I don't know, maybe you've never thought about this at home, but Matthew 26, Peter pulls out a sword to fight for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. and Jesus' response is, don't you know I could call down 12 legions of angels? Like, I'm the guy that Joshua saw. I have an incredible amount of authority to take care of this, but this is what the Father said I must do.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Troy, that's awesome.
Troy, I keep thinking about the John 8 passage, and I think it's important for us to recognize the rabbis weren't just angry at Jesus here, right? In a way, you know, that false dichotomy of Old Testament, New Testament,
right.
We can vilify everything the rabbis are doing as they're just, you know, set on kind of tanking Jesus' ministry. That's not what's happening. As you said, according to the law, according to Torah, which they observed faithfully, or they were trying to, they had an obligation to kill him if he wasn't telling the truth.
Right, and this particular passage from Deuteronomy 13, the issue is if the prophet or the dreamer of a dream performs a sign that does come to pass.
Right.
So it's not an issue of false prophecy here. Mm-hmm. It's an issue of if they say something and it comes to pass,
right.
But it's not according to what God said at Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
So it's not new, it's new, it's different, it's not according to the commandments, it sounds like another God.
Right.
Their responsibility
That's right.
was to be evaluated by the test.
Right.
Deuteronomy 13 says, this person will come do a sign that comes to pass, and that it's a test mm-hmm. of your love for the Lord. It's an incredible thing that the rabbis have this great responsibility
right.
to the people of Israel.
That's right.
But it's definitely different than the way we usually have been taught.
Sure. And I'm thinking, you know, in society today, right, there's kind of this very politically correct idea. Oh, Jesus was a good man. He was a good rabbi, a little misinformed. He was a great teacher. It can't be. He was either a heretic worthy of the death, or he's everything he says he is.
You know, C.S. Lewis said this so well. He said, you can't come away with Jesus being a good man.
Right.
He was either a liar, he was a lunatic,
right.
or he was Lord.
Right. That's right.
And I think that really it comes down to, unless the Holy Spirit reveals this to you, flesh and blood
That's right.
does not reveal this to you, but my Father.
Right. That's right.
And upon this revelation, I will build my ecclesia,
and
my called out ones.
That's what we're praying for. That's what we're fighting for in
Absolutely.
Our ministry, is that you would join us in the effort of praying that the blinders would come off mm-hmm. of the Jewish people.
Exactly.
I mean, just like it happened to us, just like it happened to our family members.
That's right.
We want that to happen among the Jewish people today.
I want you to know, Jewish Voice is here to, we're here to pray for your needs and to minister to you. But we also ask you to pray mm-hmm. for specifically for Jewish people, that their eyes might be open to the truth, even rabbis.
Amen.
And it's happening in our day.
That's right.
And God's called you to be part of it. We need to take a moment to share with you how you can receive the resources that we're making available today, and also how you can get involved with Jewish Voice. Would you pray about joining us as a Shalom partner today? Your monthly support will quite literally change lives, transform lives, and give us the opportunity to share the gospel with thousands of precious Jewish people and their neighbors. Stay with us after this short message. We'll be back to pray with you and come into agreement with you for your needs. So don't go anywhere.
Were you surprised to hear the God of Israel appears in human form more than 50 times in the Hebrew Bible? For your gift of $40 or more to support the work of Jewish Voice, we'll send you the book, Who Ate Lunch with Abraham? Plus, we'll include the DVD, Jacob Becomes Israel, in which Jonathan offers a new perspective on Jacob wrestling the Lord himself. The unique features of our third resource, the Jewish Voice Study Bible, underscore how your Jewish roots connect to faith in Jesus. We'll send all three when you become a new monthly Shalom partner for just $50 a month. Make sure to request the Jesus in the Old Testament package when you contact us today.
What I have here is a Lifestra, a water filtration system that will last for 5 years for an entire family. The cost of one filter is just $75. I'm asking you to stretch and help with this water filter. Water is life. So I'm asking you to stretch, be generous, pick up the phone, and call now.
Make a gift of $50 a month. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or mail your gift to the address on the screen. Thanks for your continuing generosity. Now back to Jonathan, Ezra, and Troy.
We just have a, little over a minute left, Troy, and I have a real burden. We were talking about the revelation of who Jesus is coming through the Holy Spirit. Sure. Flesh and blood can't reveal this. Mm-hmm. There's people that need salvation for their family. Would you pray
I'd
for that
to.
Specifically?
Yes.
And would you just believe God with us right now? You may have a family member that needs to be saved. This is the moment. Believe.
Yeshua, we thank you that your desire is to make yourself known to all men and women everywhere.
Amen.
And Lord, we're lifting up specifically today family members of those who are joining us.
Yes,
and we're
Lord.
Asking, Lord, that you would make yourself known
yes, Lord.
To family members who have yet Amen. To find yes, an Lord. Understanding of who you are. Lord, it's your desire that all that none would perish, but that all would find salvation
yes,
in you. And so we lift up our partners, those who are joining us on this broadcast today. Lord,
yes,
make
Lord.
Yourself known to their family members.
Yes,
in the name of Yeshua,
salvation.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Eternal
amen.
Life. Amen and amen. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to jewishvoice.tv. You can also send us your prayer requests right on the website. We have a team here at Jewish Voice that's committed to praying for your request, each one by name. We believe in the power of prayer, and we care about you. As we close the program today, I want to remind you that God asked each of us to pray for Israel and the Jewish people. Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. So please pray for the Jewish people in your life this week and for the land of Israel. Thanks to Troy Wallace for joining us today. Until next time, this is Jonathan Bernis with Ezra Benjamin saying shalom. God bless you. I was recently made aware of an alarming statistic. Listen to this now. 6 out of 10 Americans today don't currently have a will or trust, and another 30 to 35% are either poorly written or outdated. If you're in this situation and you're a Jewish Voice giver, I have some good news for you. Because of your financial support to our ministry, we're able to provide you with independent, professional advice to help you develop a will or trust at no cost to you. If you already have a will or trust, you can have it reviewed so that you can have peace of mind that you are being a good steward in providing for your family and children. Go to jvmi.org/trust to learn more.